is where Jesus is being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. And it says in verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, and we know that that's the devil, it says, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Look at verse number 6. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now it's interesting. The first time that the devil approaches man in the Old Testament, right at the beginning of the Bible, you remember the first thing out of his mouth was a question? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of all the trees of the garden. So the first thing he did when he tempted man in the Garden of Eden, when he tempted Adam and Eve, was that he questioned God's word. Did God really say that? Well, in the New Testament, the first thing that the first time we meet the devil in the New Testament, he's questioning whether Jesus is the Son of God. Because right away he's saying, well, if thou be the Son of God. Well, there's no if about it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But he said, well, if thou be the Son of God. See, God puts a question, or the devil wants to put a question mark where God has already put a period. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, well, if you are the Son of God. And he's trying to doubt that and question that. Now, tonight I want to preach on this doctrine of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what that means. You say, well, that sounds pretty basic. I mean, everybody already knows that. But we're going to go in depth here tonight and understand what that means. Because a lot of people are attacking this doctrine today of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. I've run into many people out soul winning who try to say, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. People said that about him, but he never said that. If you run into Muslims, I've been knocking on doors lately, running into Muslims. And they'll say, oh, I believe in Jesus. And they say, I know that the Bible will have verses that mention that Jesus is the Son of God, but he never said that about himself. And another thing is that modern Bibles today, the NIV, the New American Standard, these modern versions, take out the places where Jesus Christ said that he's the Son of God. They actually remove those places to where you won't find Jesus saying that about himself in the NIV. It's removed. Now, why is this so important? Well, because it's the deity of Christ that's at stake here, number one. And number two, it's important because if that's the first thing that the devil attacks, then obviously this is a doctrine that we need to contend for and stand up for. Now, another thing is that other people will take this doctrine and they'll say, well, Jesus is the Son of God, but he's not God. You know, he's not equal with God. And they'll try to say, well, because he's the Son of God, that means that he's not God in the flesh. And we're going to deal with that tonight too. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses or others would try to say. So what does it mean? Why does the Bible call Jesus the Son of God? First of all, let's establish that the Bible does call Jesus the Son of God and that he himself claimed to be the Son of God. First of all, look at Matthew 27. You're in the book of Matthew already. Look at Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew 27, these are the ones who are mocking Jesus and reproaching him. And they say to him in Matthew 27:43, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So they heard him say it. It says in verse number 54 that when the centurion and they that were with them watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now go to John chapter number 9. I want to show you where Jesus flat out said that he was the Son of God. I mean, there are many places, but I'm just going to show you one of them. Look at John chapter 9. While you're turning there, let me go through some other verses about Jesus being the Son of God. First of all, it says in Mark 1:1. Mark, you don't have to turn there. Mark 1:1. The first verse is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay, so that spells it out right there. But look at John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. This is a blind man who had been healed and he was cast out. And when he had found them, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. So right there, Jesus Christ said that he's the Son of God, right, in John chapter 9. Well, look at John chapter 10. You're in chapter 9, just go one chapter forward. It says in verse 36, this is when he's being challenged by the Pharisees. Here's what Jesus says to them in verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Right? So did Jesus say he was the Son of God? In chapter 9, he said, look, you're talking to him. He said, who's the Son of God? Well, you're looking at him, you're talking to him. And then in the next chapter, he said, yeah, that's what I said, that I am the Son of God. Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. So many multitudes of scripture. Here's the NIV, the non-inspired version. You want to look this up for me, Brother George? You can look that up for me in there. Let me hand out some of these other phony Bibles. And you know, you say, Pastor Anderson, why do you do this so often where you hand these out? Because as sure as I'm standing here, you can go through this a million times, and some people will still think, like, you know, it's not that bad or whatever. There you go. You know, they don't. Some people need the reinforcement to see it again and again to really know what these versions are doing. Look up John 9:35 where we just were. John 9:35. While we're turning there, I'll give you some other scriptures. These are the disciples in Matthew 14:33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 26:63. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. He said, you said it. And he said, henceforth, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. We're going to get to that a little bit later, why he's called the Son of Man. And so are you there in John 9:35 and that portion of Scripture? Now remember, in the King James Bible, look down at your King James Bible in John 9. He said at the end of verse 35, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Right? He says to this guy, do you believe on the Son of God? And he says in verse 37, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. What's it say in the NIV?
It says, do you believe in the Son of Man?
Do you believe in the Son of Man? So they take out the part where Jesus says that he's the Son of God in chapter 9. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Garrett. What are you reading there? The New King James? Is this one the same or is it different?
It's the same. Do you believe in the Son of God?
Son of God? What do you got there in the Living Bible?
Do you believe in the Messiah?
Okay, well, yeah. Yeah, they just pick whatever they want to call him in that one. So, do you believe in the Messiah? What do you got? Son of...
New American Standard.
Son of Man?
Yeah, Son of Man.
Do you believe in the Son of Man? But now, in the NIV... Look, if you would, Brother Jordan, at John 10:36. If you can even find it. I know the verse numberings are weird, but do you see John 10:36?
I do.
What's it say in John 10:36? Go ahead and read it out loud.
What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's Son?
So where did he say that? Because, see, in the King James Version, he said it in chapter 9, and then he refers back to it in chapter 10. Yes, I said I'm the Son of God. And that one he said, well, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he's like, well, because I said I'm the Son of God, you're angry. See the contradiction there? He never even said that in the NIV. So that's a contradiction. But anyway, I don't want to go on and on about that. But, you know, you can see in these new Bibles, they take out the word God 51 times in the NIV. You know, they take out the word Lord, I believe, 66 times. You know, they're constantly changing things and making these changes. And then people have challenged me, and they'll say, show me one place in the Bible where Jesus says he's the Son of God. And I turn to them in John chapter 9 and show them, and they're surprised because in their Bible it's been removed. And so they're like, wow, because they didn't expect it to say that, because they've got a phony Bible that's trying to make people question whether Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. I mean, how many different places did he say that he's the Son of God? But then others will say, well, wait a minute, if he's the Son of God, then he can't be God. Have you heard that one? You know,
right.
Oh, he's not God in the flesh, he's just the Son of God. Well, first of all, let's establish quickly that Jesus Christ is God. Then we'll explain that. First of all, look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. I don't even need to take you to Hebrews 1:8, which says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom." I mean, that right there spells out. I'm not even going to take you to 1 Timothy 3:16, where it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory." All speaking of Jesus, calling him God. I don't even have to take you to the part where somebody called Jesus good master and he said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God." And let me tell you something. If anybody was good, it was Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." He went about doing good. I mean, he was good. He was the only one who was good because he was God in the flesh. I'm not even going to take you to Isaiah 9:6, which says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." The Mighty God. Not a Mighty God. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. But look at Hebrews 3 where it's just spelled out. It says in Hebrews 3:1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So Jesus Christ is who? He's the apostle of our profession, right? He's also the high priest of our profession. Verse 2, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." So who is Jesus Christ being compared unto? Moses, right? He's saying, hey, Moses was faithful. Jesus Christ was faithful. But look at the difference between Jesus and Moses in verse 3. "For this man," Jesus Christ, he's saying, "was counted worthy of more glory than Moses." How much more glory? "Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." Now do you see that? He says, hey, Jesus is to Moses as the man who built the house is to the house. Because every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. That's why it says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." Who? The Word. "And without him was not anything made that was made." That's why it says in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The only begotten of the Father was the Word made flesh. And the Word was in the beginning with God. And the Word was God. That's why it says in 1 John 5:7, also removed from the NIV completely. Removed from the New American Standard. Removed from the Living Bible. Removed from the New World Translation. He said, "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You know what else that's known as? Matthew 28:18. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you." Jesus Christ returns on a white horse in Revelation 19, and he had a name written that was called the Word of God. So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, also known as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the Word made flesh. And so he was in the beginning with God, and he was God. You see, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But these three are one. Because there's only one God. But he has three manifestations. Okay, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The three in one is what that teaches there in 1 John 5:7, as well as the Trinity is also found. You know, it's not called in the Bible the Trinity, but the concept of the Godhead or the three in one is found throughout the Bible. It's found in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Notice the plurality there. Let us make man in our image. Okay, it's found throughout the Bible. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 when it says, and the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with thy spirit. You got all three right there. And all throughout the Bible you find the Trinity. In that way. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. So Jesus Christ is God. It's clear. All things were made by Him. That's why the Bible also says in Revelation that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Look at Revelation chapter 1. The beginning of the creation of God. Now people will try to say, oh, He's a created being. No. He is the beginning of the creation of God. It doesn't say He was the first thing created. No. Because He was already in the beginning with God. He had no beginning. Let me give you another scripture on Jesus while you're turning to Revelation. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3 of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 7, 3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Therefore, Jesus Christ had no beginning of days, and He had no end of life. He is eternal. From everlasting, Micah 5:2 says that Jesus Christ is from everlasting. He had no beginning of days nor end of life. He is eternal. He was already there in the beginning with God. He was already there. When the Bible says He's the beginning of the creation of God, it means that He was the creator, is what He was. Because all things were made by Him. Colossians 1 teaches that Jesus Christ is the Creator. It says in Revelation chapter 1, and of course this is Jesus Christ speaking, and He's speaking unto John, and He says in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. Those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The Jehovah's Witness will say to you, oh, you know, Jesus Christ is not the Almighty. He's just a mighty God, but He's not the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. He said here, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. He says right here that He is, He was, He is to come. He is existing in eternity. Either direction, as far back as you want to go or as far forward as you want to go. He is God. He said a little bit later on, because people will say, oh, that, you know, that was God the Father. Okay, well, tell me if you're sure if this is Jesus. It says in Revelation 1:17, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His hand, right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Earlier on He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. You know, He combined all those beginning and end. He says, verse 18, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So who's that? That was dead. That's Jesus Christ, right? He was dead for 3 days and three nights, and up from the grave He arose. So this is Jesus Christ saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. Look at verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. You see that in verse 11? And then you see in verse 17, He says, I'm the first and the last. I was dead, now I'm alive. Hey, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ was God incarnate. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson. Why was He called the Son of God? Turn back to John 5:17. You say, well then why is He called the Son of God? Well, we're going to get to that and explain to you why. Because the Bible flat out tells us why. We're not going to look at that verse yet. First, we're going to look at a verse in John 5. Then we're going to go to the verse that explains why Jesus is called the Son of God. Because you say, well, if He's the Son of God, how can you say He's God? Well, He is God in the flesh and He's also called the Son. And I'll explain why. But look, if you would, at John chapter 5, first of all, in verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, do you see that? Jesus Christ, according to the narrator here of the book of John, which is the Holy Spirit, said that Jesus Christ, by making God his Father, he said, made himself equal with God. That he basically... Now you say, well, I don't know if that's really what that means. Okay, look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Would you mind turning there in that phony NIV as well? Philippians chapter 2, that piece of garbage next to you, that's the NIV. Philippians chapter number 2, and verse number... Philippians 2, verse number 5. Let's start in verse 5. Everybody in Philippians 2, 5? It says, "Who being in the form... or let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So look, did Jesus Christ consider equality with God something out of bounds to him? No. In John 5, he made himself equal with God. It said in John 5, 17 and 18. Here it says, hey, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. By making himself equal with God, he's not stealing anything, is he? Is he robbing some glory away from God? No. It was not robbery for him to be equal with God. What's it say in the non-inspired version?
Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped.
You know, according to the NIV, he couldn't quite grasp equality with God. You know, and the original New King James said that too. Now they've changed it because people got so angry that now the New King James has toned that down. But the New King James used to read exactly like the NIV when it first came out. It used to say that, you know, equality with God was not something for him to that he could really grasp. You know what I mean? It's just a little out of bounds for him. See how these versions are attacking the deity of Christ. But the bottom line is here that Jesus Christ is co-equal with God because he is God in the flesh. He is the Word made flesh. He was in the beginning with God. And people say, well, I don't understand that, how he could, you know, if he's God, how is he praying to the Father? It doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. It's what the Bible says. You know, you can sit there and say, and I always say this, well then explain this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How could the Word be with God and be God at the same time? If you can answer that question, then I'll answer the other question, because you know what? We don't have to understand, we just need to believe it.
Amen.
You know, because we don't understand everything, because we are not as smart as God. We're human beings. I mean, don't you think there are things that if I explained to my children, they couldn't understand? I mean, if I explain to them calculus, if I explain to them Einstein's theory of relativity, they would not be able to grasp nor comprehend what I was saying. But let me tell you something. It's only because their intelligence is not high enough. It's not that the theory of relativity is not something that makes sense. It's not that calculus doesn't make sense. Calculus makes a lot of sense. But to an young mind, they won't understand it. And it's the same thing when a human being says, well, I don't understand everything about the Bible. Look, if you understood everything about the Bible, then you'd be God.
Right.
No man understands everything about the Bible because it's God's Word. God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. We don't know everything. And the more I read this book, I mean, this week alone, just from talking to people about Genesis 1 and studying it, and I mean, the most rudimentary, basic chapter, the first chapter, Genesis 1. I've learned 4 new things this week from Genesis chapter 1. And there's 1,189 chapters. And I'll bet you a few years from now I'm going to learn other stuff about Genesis 1. The Bible is an unbelievably deep book. And so we can't just sit there and say, well, I don't understand it, and so therefore I won't believe it. Well, then you're going to go to hell if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Because he said, if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins.
Right.
And he was referring to the verse that said in Isaiah 43, I am he and there's none else. He said, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the Lord. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I'm the Lord, and there is none else, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 43, 10 and 11. He said, I'm it. If you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. Jesus Christ was challenged by the Pharisees. They said to him, "Thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Remember, that's what God said at the burning bush. They said, "What is your name?" We want to tell the children of Israel. Moses said, "I want to tell the children of Israel, what is your name?" And he said, "Tell them that I am has sent you unto them." He said, "I am that I am." He said, "My name is I am." And Jesus said, "Hey, before Abraham was, I am." And that's when they picked up stones to stone him, because he was making himself out to be God in the flesh. So why is he called the Son of God? Look at Luke 1:35. See, usually the answer to these things is just really simple. It's nothing complicated. The Bible gives us a very clear and simple answer to why Jesus is called the Son of God, even though he was God himself incarnate in the flesh. Why is he known as the Son? Why did God choose to call him the Son and to call himself the Father? Why did he call himself that? And of course we know that Jesus Christ is also known as the Father many times throughout the Bible, like in Isaiah 9:6 and elsewhere. He calls himself the Father. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." You know, I always point these people that balk at the deity of Christ. I'll show them the part where he said, "I and my Father are one." And here's what they say. They say, "Oh, you know, that just means they're one in purpose. They're just one in spirit." And they say, "You know, you and your wife are one. You know, the two shall be one flesh. You know, the two shall be made one." And I said, "Yeah, but would I ever say to you, if you've seen me, you've seen my wife?" Would that make any sense? We're one in purpose. We're one in spirit. But if you have seen me, that doesn't mean you've seen my wife. You know, if somebody said, "Show us your wife. Show us your wife," Pastor, I said, "Well, don't you get it? If you've seen me, you've seen my wife." No, it wouldn't work, would it? Or what if they said to Solomon, my son, "Solomon, show us your father." Just show us. And he said, "Don't you get it? If you've seen me, you've seen my father." That wouldn't make any sense, would it? No. But Jesus Christ was challenged by Philip. Philip just said, "Show us the Father and it suffices." He said, "Philip, how long have I been with you and thou hast not known me? If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father." You couldn't say that about someone who was not you. I mean, you know, God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. So real simple answer. Why? Here's just a simple question, a simple answer. Why is Jesus called the Son of God throughout the Bible? He called himself that. The Bible calls him that, Mark 1:1, many other places. The demons, the devils who possessed man and fell at his feet, said, "Thou art the Son of God." And he silenced them because he didn't want them to make him known right away. And remember, he told them to be silent, the devil-possessed people that came to him? Because they said, "Thou art the Son of God." Hey, the people who mocked him as he was on the cross said, "He said he's the Son of God." The high priest said, "Tell us whether or not you're the Son of God." And he said, "Thou hast said." I love it when they say, "Are you the Son of God?" He's like, "Thou sayest that I am." "No, he didn't!" You know, they get real mad. They get in this big fight with him. Because he wasn't cooperating properly in court for them, you know, and they get real upset, start rending their clothes like Hulk Hogan or something, tearing apart their clothes, and you know, so they got really angry about it. But in Luke 1:35, there's a real simple answer. He just spells out why he's called the Son of God. It says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," well, let's go back just one verse to verse 34 just to get the context. Let me turn in my Bible. I was going off my printout here, but let me turn there quickly. It says in Luke 1:34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Because basically this angel's telling her, "You're going to give birth to a son. It's going to be the Savior of man. You know, it's going to be Jesus Christ." And she says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's saying, "Look, I'm a virgin. You know, how am I going to give birth to a child? How is this going to work?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore," which means for this reason, "also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So why is Jesus Christ called the Son of God? Because of the fact that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because he had no earthly father, because unlike the NIV says in Luke 2:33, Joseph was not Jesus' father. And so because he had no earthly father, and because it was the Holy Ghost that conceived the child within Mary's womb, therefore it was called the Son of God. Because he was not the son of Joseph, he was the Son of God because he was placed in the womb by God when she was with child of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost came upon her and the power of the highest overshadowed her. That is why the holy thing which was born of her was called the Son of God. I mean, isn't that simple? Is that so complicated and hard to understand? He's called the Son of God because of the fact that she was with child from the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is God. And so therefore, that holy thing was called the Son of God. That's all there is to it. Now you say, why throughout the Bible is he known as the Son of Man? And truly, Jesus Christ did call himself many times throughout the Bible the Son of Man, simply because of the fact that he had an earthly mother. He was descended from man, and he was descended from God, because his mother was a human being, right? His father was who? God. Because it was the Holy Ghost that came upon Mary and conceived the child within her. Okay. Now, the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Word, they all make up who God is. Okay? And because Mary was his mother, he was known as the Son of Man. Because he was 100% man and 100% God. He was God in the flesh, but he was also a human being. And so that's the amazing thing about Jesus Christ, that he was human being. He was completely human. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I mean, the Bible says that he was a man, that he was tempted, that he never sinned, but yet it records him being hungry. It says when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. When he was on the cross, he said, I thirst. In Mark chapter 3, he became angry. It says he looked round about on them with anger in Mark chapter 3. In John 11, he grieved and was sad and groaned within himself. And of course, the famous verse in John 11:35, Jesus wept. The Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. That's the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus Christ prayed unto the Father with strong crying and tears. So he was a human being, wasn't he? He was the Son of Man. But he was also the Son of God. Because he was God in the flesh and because the Holy Ghost placed him there in the womb. Now, look at John 3:16. John 3:16. We're in Luke. Just go just a few pages to the right in your Bible. John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus Christ here, it doesn't say he's the only Son. It says that he's the only begotten Son. Because of the fact that the Bible says that we have received the Spirit of adoption, Romans chapter 8, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So according to Romans chapter 8, we have received the Spirit of adoption. He has adopted us as his son. He said in John 1:12, just go back one page, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, plural, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's why Jesus Christ is called the firstborn among many brethren. He is the only begotten son. He's also called the firstborn from the dead because he's the first fruits of the resurrection. But the Bible teaches that the moment that we believe on Jesus Christ, the moment that our spirit is resurrected, that we are adopted as his sons. Now, the moment that we believe on Jesus Christ, we're born again. we are God's sons and God's daughters. Okay, the moment that we believe on Christ. Our spirit is. You know, our flesh will then be resurrected one day, and then our spirit and soul and body will all be, you know, the Son of God. You know, right now, we're just to have the first fruits of the Spirit. But you see, I'm God's son tonight. And if you're saved, you are God's son tonight, if you're saved. Or you're God's daughter. So does God only have one son? No. There's the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And really, He's only called the Son of God just because of the way He was conceived. I mean, He's really God in the flesh. But we basically become God's sons when we believe on Him. When we get saved, we become a child of God. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible also calls us, in 1 Peter chapter 1, begotten again. He says, we've been begotten again unto a lively hope. We've been born again. Are we the natural, born, natural, begotten sons of God? I mean, were you born into this world a child of God? No. You had to receive that spirit of adoption when you believe on Jesus Christ. He said, as many as received Him, they've given power to become the sons of God. That means that you weren't originally the son of God. You became God's son when you believe on Jesus Christ. That's when you're accepted into the Beloved. That's when you're adopted as God's son. But Jesus Christ has always been. Always, always, all the way back, has been present with God and always was God. He has always been who He is. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three were one, are one, will always be one God, manifesting Himself as the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, or later as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so we need to understand that. You say, well, it sounds pretty basic, and I have a lot of stuff in my notes here that I'm not going to go over just for sake of time. I don't want to go on and on about this because I have tons of scriptures here. But the main thing I want to point out here is just that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't be carried about with some false teacher. And if somebody tries to tell you that Jesus is not the Son of God, he's a false teacher. The NIV also removes Acts 8:37. And in Acts 8:37, when the eunuch had asked, you know, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said also in, look at 1 John, last place I'll have you turn. Look at 1 John. And there's tons of scriptures that we're not turning to on the deity of Christ and on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. But I just want to nail this down with you, this important point. 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse number 15. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Let me ask you something. Is a person who says that Jesus is not the Son of God saved? No way. No way. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what else you have to believe? That Jesus is God. You know, you can't sit there and say, well, He's another God, or there's more than one God, or He's a God. No, He said, you better believe that I'm He, or you'll die in your sins. And so you've got to believe that He's the Son of God, and you've got to believe that He was God in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. You've got to believe it. And if you want to sit there and say, well, I don't believe in that doctrine of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, then you're not saved if you don't believe in that doctrine. You are not saved. Now, I didn't say you have to fully understand that doctrine. And none of us fully understands it. But I'll tell you right now, you got to believe it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Anyone who's preaching that Jesus is not the Son of God is a false prophet. Anybody who's teaching that Jesus is not God in the flesh, but that He's another God, or that He was a created being later on, is a false teacher and a false prophet. That, and I want you to see here that it's not a contradiction that Jesus is God and that He's the Son of God. I mean, it goes together perfectly once you understand where that term comes from. And so let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, dear God, and Help us not to be deceived or mixed up on things and confused by these doctrines, dear God. Help us to read the Bible and study these things and know the truth that will be ready to give an answer to any man that would challenge us on this. And try to say a foolish statement like that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. We'll just flip open the Bible and show him John 9:35. And so, God, I pray that you would please just equip us with the doctrines and the scriptures that we need to know what we believe and why we believe it, and help no one here to ever be duped by these false versions that attack and strike at the core of the deity of Christ by removing Acts 8:37, by removing Jesus calling himself the Son of God, by removing 1 John 5:7, attacking the doctrine of the Trinity and thereby damning their own souls to hell in the process when they made the NIV and these other versions, dear God. Help us to stand fast and hold the traditions which we've been taught from God's Word and from the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.